one of the major reasons that I found intimacy so difficult is I had to pretend to be another person for about 8 years. I never wanted to talk about this like it was a big deal, but I think that maybe is dishonoring the 13-year-old who had to cope with liking boys and not being able to tell anyone. I was so terrified at 13 that I might like boys. I remember thinking that it was probably the fear of liking boys that was causing me to like boys. This made sense to me at the time, even though I know people who are scared of heights don't also have an intense sexual urge to sit on a roof. Where are you going? How funny do I have to be, Daddy? I didn't know what to do. I couldn't talk to anyone. So I decided at the age of 18, I would go to Paris on my own in secret to figure out if I really did like boys or if it was just this fear in my head. So, and I remember packing, I got on the train and I packed a small black t-shirt, contact lenses and hair gel. That was it. Because I thought, how will these French people resist? A skinny boy with spiky hair and the suggestion of eyesight. As soon as I arrived in Paris, I freaked out slightly that nobody knew I was there. I thought, oh my God, I could just die here and nobody will get why. They'll say, all he had in him was hair gel. What was his plan? I was so nervous walking into this nightclub. I'd never been to a nightclub before. And what I thought would happen, this is quite naive maybe, but I thought that I was this new guy in town. Somebody, at least one person, would approach me and tell me who I am. Nobody did that. No one. And that's still so weird to me because when I think about that lost, shy, vulnerable, anxious young man, I think, that's my type. I wish I'd been there for me. In therapy, we discussed why I was often drawn to younger men, and it turned out I was trying to save the 18-year-old in me who wasn't saved. You may prefer to think of me as a pervert, but I'm actually a narcissist. And a pervert. So I eventually just got drunk enough so that I could go up to this very cute guy and say the French for, will you kiss me? And he just shrugged and kissed me. It was so amazing. I still remember thinking, as he was kissing me, oh yeah, gay. It was amazing. It ended much too quickly, though. He had to leave. I didn't have the French for, I'm only here for one night, please stay. I can't believe that my French wasn't better when 2 years earlier, I'd received an A star for my GCSE oral exam for brilliant sentences like Mon père travaille dans le banque. My dad didn't work in a bank, but I didn't know how to say he runs a cab company, and I thought, who's going to check? So I thought, well, maybe I know who I am now. I could just go home. But I thought, I've come all this way. It's a long way to come. It's a shame not to touch a penis. So I imagine that's how a lot of people feel when they come to East London. So half an hour later, I see this other guy, very attractive. I go up to him. He speaks English, which means that I can say, can we go somewhere? And he says, sure. Then he takes me out of the club. We get our coats. We leave the club. And he takes me to a canal where I lose quite a bit of my virginity. And this may be the most romantic and disgusting sentence I have for you this evening. We then washed the cum off our hands in the fountains of Paris. So I'd confirmed what was obvious, and then all I had to do was spend the next few years trying to make my family feel comfortable. And that's an exhausting task, especially when all I could think was, how can there still be any homophobia when Elton John wrote The Lion King? What does he have to do? And the problem with needing people to love you, despite who you are, is you end up subtly compromising for them. You don't even realize it, but you agree somewhere to feel a bit uncomfortable about this bit of yourself as well, just enough to keep them in your life. And then, of course, any attempt at intimacy is going to be thwarted by this inability to just be yourself completely. I tried so hard with my dad, and it was very tricky because he'd found religion after my parents' divorce. For a long time, he was just canoeing, but then he found... We wouldn't have had the problems that we've had if he'd have just committed to the canoeing or drowned, but... But he found this religion, and so I had to phone him, and I remember one day phoning him, so frustrated, I said, tell me the sentence in the Torah that's the problem, and we can discuss it. He didn't want to discuss it, so I said, well, I've got it in front of me, and one of the things it says is I should be put to death. And he said, well, that's not my responsibility. So not, let's disregard that sentence, Simon. Of course, it was written a long time ago by fallible human beings. Yes, that is what should happen, but I'm very busy. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm running a cab company and a French bank. I found for my father in the book of Samuel, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David. They kissed each other and wept together until David became great. Unfortunately, at that point, the Bible pans to a shot of a fireplace, but... Nothing worked. And then more recently, my mum called me very angry because my dad hadn't invited my boyfriend and I to his daughter's, my half-sister's, bat mitzvah. And we hadn't been invited because in the Jewish religion, I don't know if you know, but if you are a boy and you have a boyfriend, it's very important that he's a girl. And I guess I would have felt angry in the past, but on the phone that day with my mum, I ended up saying, you know, he's not a monster. He just has a religion so he can cope with being alive. And as I said that, I realized I'd really let go of any need for my father's validation, acceptance, even attention. I thought, wow, the rage is gone. It's really finally gone. And then the next day, he invited us, and I was furious. So much therapy to accept that he wouldn't change. And he changed. I can't get the money back. So I called him after a few days and said, thank you for the invitation. What happened? And he said, nothing. I said, come on, something happened. And he said, let's imagine that you're in St. John's Wood. And you wanted me to come and pick you up and drive you to Edgware. And on the drive, you fell asleep. But then when you woke up, you were exactly where you wanted to be. Would it matter how we got there? What kind of cab company are you running? It almost made sense for a second until I realized that I hadn't been asleep for 15 years, and because I was terrified I wouldn't be able to stop screaming at him if I started, I just found myself saying, you know, feelings have been felt. And then he, I think because he couldn't say I'm sorry, said, I understand. And then said, but it has been very good material for you, which was difficult to argue with. You think it'd be so funny if you'd been raised by Mark? So we went to the bat mitzvah, and one of the first people I saw when I walked in was this friend of his who I hadn't seen for 15 years since she tried to convince me to become more religious. And when I told her 15 years ago that it wasn't for me, she said, are you happy? And I wasn't happy, and I thought, oh, she's got me. That's how they get you, these people. It's very important not to be unhappy, or you could end up in a cult. She said, it's been a long time, are you married? And I said, oh no, I've been with this guy for 6 years. And she looked nervous, which I found enjoyable. But rather than make her feel any more awkward, I kind of filled the space for her. I told her some stuff about him. And I suppose because I was happy, I was able to meet her fear with love. And then a rabbi came over and I thought, oh God, I don't know how many of these I can do. He also asked if I was married. I pointed to my boyfriend and he didn't know what to say. So he hugged me. And I went from feeling alarmed to patronized to realizing he wasn't hugging me. I was hugging a child who had just heard something that had scared him. And knowing, I guess instinctively, that he needed to be taken care of in that moment, I lifted up my shirt and let him suckle on my right nipple.
Watch Simon Amstell, Set Free, only on Netflix now.